Hey guys, this is episode 11 of Noodle Time. Welcome. Here with me is Tony Rubio at the airport, currently waiting for Tetsugal to arrive with Web Tilton getting the luggage. Tony, say hello.
Hello guys, here, camping out. Binoculars looking for Tetsugal, the new owner, but he hasn't come yet. And honestly, I think this is like episode 10.5, by the way. A bonus episode. Okay.
Yeah, but it's still kind of like it has a length of an episode with the interview. So yeah.
But the length, honestly, this just puts it to episode 12 because we got our first player interview. We got the long lost son of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, the Swedish beast, Eric McHugh, on today.
Yeah, it's two sons with Adam Lundqvist, but yeah, he's technically a son of Zlatan, but yeah.
No, it was, we just finished recording with Eric, and it was definitely, obviously our first interview, but definitely one to listen through all the way through, even though it is a bit of a long one. Really get to know Eric, how he's doing in the USL, and what's to come for him in the next couple of years.
For sure. It's a, like you said, even though it's a pretty long one, it's worth listening to. We were hoping to do 30 minutes, but like the conversation was so good, we ended up doing around 50. So it's worth it though. So yeah. Without further ado, this is going to be the interview with Eric McHugh, our first ever interview. And I hope you guys like it. Alrighty guys. So welcome to a special episode of Noodle Time. Here with me is obviously Tony Rubio, the special one, and also the first interviewer ever in the Noodle Time's history. You may know him, current Dynamo Academy product that was signed back in 2018 and currently playing for the Charleston Battery out on loan for the season. This is going to be Eric McHugh. Eric, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? No, thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Oh yeah, for sure. This is something that has been in the works for a while. We've been hoping to interview at least one Dynamo player at some point, and we're finally here. And we're pretty excited to have Eric on the show. And yeah, it's been something that we're working for a long time. And yeah, like the first question that we've been hoping to ask you is how has it been over there in Charleston? Obviously, you got your first professional goal, which obviously we're pretty excited. We've been watching the replay a while, and like just that finish, like it seemed like a striker's finish too, because like it was from a very tough angle. Just beat the defender and the keeper from like I would say like the lower 90 almost. And yeah, like how's it been over there?
Well, it's been quite a good move for me, honestly. I think so far that I've been here, the city's been great. My relationship with the players and the staff has been amazing, honestly. A really welcoming system. I've had a lot of fun training here in the preseason. We were able to play Atlanta United in a preseason game, and that was really fun. I was able to play 120 minutes. So I was pretty tired after that game.
Oh, dang.
But but the move has been great. Like I said, my relationship with some of the people in the club are really good. And, you know, being able to hop in a few games and, like you said, obviously score my first goal has been great. And, I mean, yeah, I watched over that replay a few times too, because honestly, in the moment, like, stuff will happen, like, so fast. I had no time to think about it. It just kind of went off instinct. But watching back on the replay, I looked at the angle and I was definitely surprised at how I was able to squeeze it in. But definitely a very, very nice finish. Not a nice finish, but a nice feeling to get my first goal. I was very happy.
It was a nice finish, too.
a decent finish. We'll put it at that.
Exactly, yeah. And yeah, like Tony and I are like pretty much like looking forward for your development and mm-hmm. and like whatever happens like over the course of the season. And like another thing that we were hoping to ask is like how like coming from like a year like of the pandemic, obviously 2010 being like a pretty tough year for the players and all the teams across like MLS and USL Championship. Mm-hmm. How have you guys been dealing with the pandemic? Like not only within their team, like the Dynamo as well as the Charleston, but also like your family and your close relatives.
Yeah, I think when it comes to, because I think a lot of people have thought, you know, when the new year hit, like, oh, all the problems with COVID were going to go away. Like, no one would have to worry about anything anymore. And that was definitely not the case. So, you know, any type of away trip we were taking, any trip at all, you know, obviously masks were up, tests were in. And we had to be very, very careful. But honestly, I think the repercussions for us, like, as players have been just obviously the protocols have been really strict. And we've known that for a while now. We're all kind of used to it, too. But I think our team has been, like, very blessed to be, like, one of the first teams, or if not the first team in the USL to be completely vaccinated. So that was a very, very nice feeling. I think we got it the very, very late preseason. So, you know, a lot of us felt some stuff, you know, in training, you know, when you get the vaccine, you kind of feel a little bit sick. So we had, like, a day or two off, but since then, I mean, it's been honestly like a massive weight lifted off my shoulders, just because I already had COVID, and I might have even gotten it a second time because I had a COVID scare being here, like a second week of preseason. But I really did not want to be involved with this virus anymore at all. So I was done with it. I already had it once. I was out of training, missed a few games. So it was irritating enough as it was, and I was lucky to not get really bad symptoms. I know some of my teammates got really, really bad symptoms, hospitalized even, and, you know, during that time we were all really worried about them. But obviously now with the vaccine being rolled out to everyone, like, I'm really happy my whole team has been vaccinated. Like, it's a very, very nice feeling. And, you know, relatives, friends are starting to roll around to get vaccinated too, so, you know, it seems like it's slowly fading away. It's not like, you know, New Year's came around, COVID's completely gone. So it's getting there eventually.
And how was just kind of the past year, mm-hmm. when there was the play stoppage, how are you keeping busy? Were you just in Houston, or were you somewhere else with your family before your loan started?
So last year, you know, around like March, April, May, that time when it was, you know, almost complete lockdown in the US, it was a very weird time. You know, a lot of my teammates, like, sometimes, especially we had just gotten started with the season, had one game, I think, and then everything got shut down.
Yeah.
So I came back to Houston because I was actually on loan with RGV then for like about a month, and everything got shut down. So I was sitting there in McAllen, Texas, and I was just like, if this doesn't seem to be letting up at all. So I drove home. And, you know, since from then on, it was 2 months of quarantine, it felt like. And just we slowly started to come back into training because, you know, all of us players, like, you know, we get into this routine of training every day. You know, you kind of like almost switch like your brain off for a while because, you know, until like 1 or 2 p.m. every day, you're going to be busy. You're going to be doing the same thing you love all the time. And you always will account for that in your day. And then suddenly it all stops and you're kind of just wondering, like, when is it going to stop? Like, when are we going to return back to play? When are things going to go back to normal? And I remember most of us thought it was going to be like 2 weeks at the very beginning, so we were very wrong about that. But yeah, I mean, obviously with the trainings and everything, we would go out, like, run, do something with the ball almost every single day. You know, footballers, like, we can't not do something all the time. And that's what I was doing. You know, I was running around Memorial Park, around my area, around my house. And basically I started training along with my Swedish teammate, Adam Lundqvist. And, you know, when we started to get back a little bit where Dynamo were giving us specific workouts to a return to play protocol, which we would actually come and like train individually as a team, you know, kind of thing. That's when we really got, like, we had to get down to business, you know, and really, really work on our running and fitness and everything. So I work with him, and, you know, he's got great stamina. So that was a very, very tough time to be running along with him. You know, these mile runs and these, you know, suicide runs. He's a quick guy. So that definitely pushed my fitness. But it was a weird time for sure. You know, it was kind of day by day. Everyone was figuring it out as we went along and just try to squeeze in as much football as we can during that time. So.
Yeah, for sure. Adam definitely is probably the guy that gets subbed out the least for the Dynamo, so
yeah.
I can imagine how that is. But
just runs and runs, man.
Yeah, it's also the period between, like, when it's the pandemic is actually, like, kicked up a notch, which was back in March. Like, just that period between, like, March up until this point, like, the uncertainty, like, it was something interesting to look at, especially for the professional players that had to, obviously, they had to, like, stay in shape, and with the pandemic just starting, and, like, the scare and the effects of the virus, and it was pretty worrisome at one point for me, and yeah, it's good to know, like, over the course of time, as we've been adapting through the virus, there's been like measures taking place up till this point where, like, the vaccine is really available for, like, almost everyone, it's great to hear, like, a Charleston being, like, the first team in USL Championship to have the whole team vaccinated, which is great.
Yeah, no, it was a big relief. Honestly, I was really happy to hear we were getting it, because I didn't really know what was happening with Houston before I left. And I kind of asked them, like, ooh, am I going to be able to get vaccinated before I leave? But they got vaccinated a little while after I left. Obviously, all the MLS teams did. It was a very high priority. But definitely a huge relief that we got ourselves vaccinated, just because, you know, we can just worry a bit less. You know, even here, like, they've stopped mandating masks in stores and everything, which was a very weird change. You know, for probably a year straight of always you have to remember your mask no matter where you go. And then all of a sudden you're walking in the stores, you almost feel naked in a way. It's a very weird feeling.
In Texas it happened probably way earlier but we'll circle back to how you're doing with Charleston later on in the episode, but I think Andres kind of wanted to get you talking maybe a little about where you began and your journey all throughout the world, what we've read up on you.
Yeah. It's always a bit of a long story. So I think I'll just try to make sure to, you know, relate it to football as much as I can. But basically, I was born in Sweden and raised in Thailand until I was about 7 years old. And during that time, you know, obviously growing up during those years of your life, you kind of start to associate a certain place with home. And that's just kind of what I did with Thailand and where I lived. So a lot of my early memories have a lot to do with being in Thailand, you know, the very, like, warm, loving people there, the beach hot weather. So it was quite an amazing time to be there, especially with, there were a lot of different, like, kids in my situation that were living there too. You know, a lot of people will get a bit confused when I say, you know, oh, I lived in Asia for, like, 14 years of my life, and they'll think that I was just, you know, in, like, the local schools trying to understand their language. Like, that's not what it's like. I was with, like, kids that were just from all around the world that were just in the same situation as me, with a dad or a mom that their job forced them to relocate. So, you know, I was there, obviously, when I was growing up, being really young in Thailand, you know, we were playing all kinds of sports, and the only sport I wanted to play was soccer. Hated almost every other thing. Well, I didn't hate it. I just really didn't want to do it. And football was, like, the only thing I'd play at recess, lunch, after school, all the time. Except the one thing I hated being was goalkeeper. So there's no shot I was ever going to hit the ball. But then when I was about 7 years old, I moved to Houston for a year and a half. I actually lived out in Kingwood during that time. And, you know, tried all the American sports I could, you know, flag football, like basketball. And it's very ironic because I'm very tall, but I'm horrible at basketball. I'm not going to talk about that. But yeah, during my time in Houston, you know, I tried to play as much soccer as I could. And then I found out I was moving to China. I lived there for about 4.5 years. And I only was able to play football on a real field like once a week, maybe. So during that time where I was about like 9 to 13 years old, I was very, very limited on the amount of football I could play. Plus the pollution was so bad sometimes outside that we were
on
mandate from the government to stay inside. Like, it was
what city was it?
We lived in Chengdu in like Sichuan province. It's like kind of like in middle of China, but massive population, millions and millions of people. I think it was like 12 million people when I was living there.
No, dang, yeah.
Man.
Kind of like
small at all.
Oh, it's like the size of a small nation. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of makes you think about how many people were there. But honestly, the culture that I experienced in China was amazing. You know, we would take like some school trips to go see like different monuments and temples, and you know, being able to see like the Great Wall of China and stuff, like it was amazing. And the history and like heritage of the country is incredible. You know, some of the things I was able to see and learn about, I took Mandarin as well, but that did not stick, sadly. Very hard language to learn.
Yeah.
After that, I ended up moving back to Thailand for like my 6th to 9th grade. And that's where I really got into football a lot more. I started playing on the club level, and I had a really great coach, Andy Clawson, who really kind of got me serious about it. I always loved football. I always wanted to be a pro, but I wanted it to happen, but I didn't really think it was going to. But there, it kind of became real. So, you know, when I got to my 9th grade, I kind of realized that if I was going to be playing, like have a chance at even playing professional, I had to move. Like, I couldn't stay in Thailand, even though I loved the country so much. I still consider it like kind of my home. Mm-hmm. I knew just for football, like it wasn't where I could be. Like, I was kind of growing out of the level that was there. And I looked into places in Europe and America to go to boarding school. And one of the ones that came up was the DC United Academy. So I was there for a year and a half. And quite honestly, I didn't have a great experience there. I spent quite a bit of time injured and didn't have a great amount of time on the field. So I was quite frustrated. And my parents told me they were moving to Houston. So from then on, I made the decision to try out for Houston. The coach back then loved me, moved to Houston. And from there, I mean, I just had a really good season, no injuries, a solid year with the U17s and then a little bit with the U19s. And then I was able to sign my pro contract. And it was pretty funny because like that same week that I signed, I was like an inch away from signing with Wake Forest. And I got called into a meeting with Matt Jordan, and he was like, Eric, do you really want to go to college? And I was like, no, not at all. I don't want to. Like, please, if this is going to happen, make it happen now. So it was the perfect timing, honestly. And yeah, that's pretty much what's happened all the way up to 2018. So that's the story in regards to football. It's a long one.
You definitely have a lot to talk about.
Yes, for
around
sure.
Around the dinner table.
yeah.
But when you were at DC, did you play with any of those guys that are kind of gone through the system, like Eric mm-hmm. Williamson or I think Kevin Paredes?
Kevin. No, I never played with Kevin. I played with Moses Nyman.
Moses Nyman. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a baller. That kid, like he would
train up. Coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, he would train up with us, play games with us, and just some of the stuff that I saw him do in games and training was unreal. So I know he'll go far. He has a lot of loyalty to DC just because, you know, they treated him so well. But yeah, I played with him. I never got to see Kevin Paredes. Me and him have a good relationship now. We both share the same agent, so we're able to communicate once in a while. And yeah, I think other than that, there are a few guys obviously that I still keep in contact with, but you know, they aren't really doing they're not like on the DC United like first team or anything. So
yeah.
Like that.
And when you were in Thailand, you were playing for the like academy of the professional team there, right?
I did for a little while, yes. But mostly I played with a smaller club team. They're called FC Bangkok, and I think they like established themselves like a year after I moved there. So mm-hmm. they're a very new club, and I got really lucky with the coaching staff that was there. Cause I mean, they knew exactly like how I needed to be coached, especially when I was in those like years of my development. I was growing very fast, and
just shot up overnight.
Yeah. It was a lot of growing pains. So that wasn't the best, but I actually, I played as a holding midfielder until I was in 9th grade, until I moved to DC. You know, I moved to the US mm-hmm. and they took one look at me and I was tall and they're like, no, you're center back. Just go back there. So it definitely helps, you know. I'm able to kind of some people will be surprised with some, like, the skills I'm able to do, like, juggling and everything. And that's, like, well, it's because I haven't been a center back my whole life, at least. Yeah. So I'm not too limited there.
Yeah, that's quite the story, honestly. Like, I'm originally from Venezuela, and I moved to Houston back in 2010. And when I started playing soccer, I mostly played as a goalkeeper from middle school up to high school. And it, which is pretty funny, since that's not the position you're quite fond of, but... We did manage to get to the Final Four in state, but like it was a pretty interesting soccer journey. Obviously not compared to yours, but well, yeah, like it was kind of relate, I mean, in a sense. Yeah,
you definitely had the one thing that I was lacking, which was playing goalkeeper. So I think you have that base covered.
Yeah, and moving from like 2018 up until 2019, that was a pretty significant year for you, since that's the game that you made the appearance at the MLS homegrown game during the MLS All-Star Week. And also, like, that was the year that you made the appearance for RGVSC a few times. And, like, focusing on the MLS homegrown game, how was your experience over in Orlando? Because I did manage to watch the homegrown game in Orlando, since I was in vacation visiting family, and I had to watch your game, obviously. And yeah. And I think, if I recall correctly, that game it was against Guadalajara Youth, and you guys lost by a goal, if I recall correctly. But overall, like, how was the experience, like, on and off the field for you in Orlando?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we did end up tying and winning on penalties, which was very nice.
Oh, but, dude, I
thanks for the correction.
Actually.
But
yeah. No, it was a while back. But yeah, I mean, the whole experience was amazing. I loved it, honestly. I think I was able to surround myself with a lot of, like, younger kids in the league that were, as, like, signed professionally as well with their team. So it was great to speak with them, train with them, and just see what it was like, because a lot of them have had that experience in terms of, like, playing with players at a year age that are of, like, quite a high level. And I never really got that in terms of, like, playing with, like, national teams, like youth national teams. And that's something I've always wanted to do. And I ended up getting a youth national team call up to Sweden in my first year, but I sadly couldn't go because of an injury. So that's obviously a goal I have in mind still. I really want to be able to be called up to the youth national teams for Sweden or the US. But yeah, I mean, being surrounded by all those players, you know, I was really good mates on the trip with, like, Brendan Aaronson, Brian Reynolds and stuff. So those are two kids that have really made a name for themselves in football in the last 6 to 12 months, you know. So they've been doing really, really well. And, you know, speaking with them, with their experience with the Philadelphia Union, FC Dallas, it was really great just to see, like, what they're doing, how their trainings were, just how it was in terms of, like, relationships with the players and the coaches. And that's something that I was looking for a long time, because I remember my first year, for the entire year, like, there was a pretty big age gap between me and the next youngest player. I think it was like 4 years, like 5 years. So I definitely at times felt that I was very, very young compared to the rest of the team, you know, sitting there talking about, like, picking up their kids from school, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah. Getting a mortgage on their house.
yeah, exactly. There's only so much you can talk to them about. But yeah, I mean, speaking with them, it was great. Like, obviously, it was crazy meeting some of the players that were at the All-Star game then. You know, there was sitting next to the table at me was, like, Bastian Schweinsteiger, Wayne Rooney, Zlatan, like, Luis Nani, like, some, like, crazy names, you know, just, like, names I would play FIFA with when I was young. You know, like, even still did back then. And, like, and it was just unreal to me, because just seeing them and, like, seeing how they trained and how they played and stuff, it was an amazing experience just to be able to talk to them and, like, you know, learn some stuff from them. And, you know, I was able to speak with, like, Zlatan in Swedish for, like, 15 minutes when he was in the gym, you know, so, like, that was quite, like...
How was that conversation?
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. He's so much nicer of a guy than people make him out to be, honestly. I basically was walking back with a player from Chicago Fire, and I saw him in the gym, and I was just like, I mean, I can't not talk to him. Like, you know, he's Zlatan, like... You should see, like, the culture in Sweden around Zlatan is crazy. He's regarded as a god, honestly. Yeah. So I just couldn't not say hi to him. And I walked in, I was like, hey, like, I'm really sorry, but I need to say hi to him. Like, I'm the only, I'm only the Swedish guy here. Like, I need to talk to him. And even the trainers were really chill. And he was really relaxed as well. And just being able to speak to him, you know, he was just asking me about like football, Houston. And, you know, he was really surprised that like I could speak Swedish. You know, I could tell like his face changed very quickly in between like when I was walking up to him and then when I opened my mouth and said Swedish words. You know? So I could tell he was like, oh, like, okay, here's another one. And then he was just surprised because he just obviously didn't know anything about me. So he was really chill. He was a really, really chill guy. I loved talking to him. And just kind of being able to see someone that I idolize as like a kid and being able to talk to them and just chill was a really cool experience. So I think honestly, overall, I always keep that experience like very, very close to my heart because like being able to play with those guys, you know, they're on a really, really high level, you know, be able to compete with them and play well in the game. Like it was amazing overall. I think a really, really good experience.
No, that's so dope. But we want to ask you about Zlatan, so that's finally got the response there. While we're on the topic of kind of your relationship with some of those guys you met there, tell us a little bit about kind of your relationship with Adam Lundqvist, because you know we know you guys are close, at least it seems so. And then just with any of the other homegrowns or any of the players on the Dynamo that you've kind of came up with, like who are kind of your go to guys that you know, you don't mind talking to off the field either.
Yeah, of course. I mean, first, like, speaking with Adam, like, obviously when I was signed, when I was first signed, he signed, like, I think, like, a month or two afterwards. I can't really remember. But it was a bit of, like, not necessarily right when the season started, but a little bit, like, into, like, halfway through the season. So basically we got a phone call from like Matt Jordan saying, you know, we have a Swedish guy coming in. We know your mom and you can speak Swedish. You know, we really like for you to like welcome him to the team. So basically like, you know, we were the first like family to welcome him to Houston, and having that Swedish connection where we can, you know, enjoy like meals off the field where like, you know, we cook Swedish meals for them to come over, have like those classic Swedish pastries. Just being able to speak Swedish even for a dinner for a little while, you know, I think it definitely helped him a lot with his adjustment to the team and to America. And I mean, his English has gone like perfect since then. So
yeah,
he's done really, really well. But, you know, me and him, like I kind of consider him like an older brother, you know, just with stuff like he'll be able to teach me stuff in training. And, you know, my Swedish isn't like completely fluent since I never really lived there. So, you know, helps me with my Swedish a little bit. He'll correct me here and there. And, you know, me and him have always been really close. Like he pushes me really hard to, you know, obviously to keep up with him, like when we were training together in quarantine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've always viewed him as an older brother for sure. And, you know, our families have been really close since he moved here. And honestly, I'm also really, really close to, Marcelo Palomino and Sam Junqua. Those two, I think we've become really close just because in my first year, especially me and Sam got really close because he was the next youngest player, like what I spoke about earlier. So being able to talk with him and chill with him, you know, being that one guy in training you can always talk to, it was really nice. But especially now with Marcelo being signed to the team, you know, he's just a few months younger than me, and, you know, being able to train with each other and have another guy that's like your age is very nice. Especially when you know, you're training with men all the time, you can sometimes forget how old you are. You know, like you haven't done all the things that they've done. You haven't been a professional for like 8 or 9 or 10 years like them. So it's always a bit of a different situation. But
when you're training with your Uncle Boniek and Minor.
Yeah, honestly, they could be my like dad and uncle, honestly. So but yeah, I mean, those three have been like great friends on the team, and we always keep in close contact off the field. So no, it's been really good.
No, yeah, it's great to hear the chemistry between you, Palomino, and Junqua. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Junqua having to deal with like some injuries early in the preseason, and just right now getting into the first team, and also Palomino. Also, kind of like the same boat as you are, but obviously with a different team, with a season long loan. And honestly, just happy that you guys are getting those minutes out on the field, getting that experience. And And going back to 2019, I was just hoping to ask, like, during your time with RGBFC, was that like a season, like, even though the season wasn't that great and numbers wise, like, mm-hmm. in the sense of results, like, was that time at RGBFC like a good, like just like a good experience, like, overall, to like experience the league, experience like how teams play, like, mm-hmm. the physical play, like technical play, right before joining Charleston, sorry.
Yeah. I think I'll always, any minutes that I can get on the field, I'll always appreciate, just because I'm always learning, and being able to get comfortable with the tempo of a league is really important. You know, you'll see players that transfer leagues, and, you know, people always give them a hard time in terms of, like, being adjusted to the tempo of the league, the aggression, maybe the pace, and the rhythm of, like, how they play. But, you know, sometimes it does take a little while, and I'm happy that I was able to get some minutes under my belt in RGV, even at right back, just to get on the field and just feel what it's like, you know. And yeah, I mean, the times at RGV have always been, they've always been challenging for me, but they've been helpful nonetheless. You know, being able to get on the field, you know, even last year, I felt like I was quite, there were some things I definitely needed to mature upon, you know, on and off the field. And I ended up figuring those things out. So I think it helped me a whole lot for this year at Charleston. So that's why I'm feeling a whole lot more ready and confident on the field.
Was that the time you spent RGV? I mean, like, in all honesty, we know how that relationship was kind of in between the Dynamo and RGV. It seems like it's a little bit rocky, and obviously now it's coming to an end. But yeah. Like, when you were down there, is that like one of the, I guess, hardest moments you've experienced so far in your career? Does it kind of feel lonely to go all the way to McAllen, to a new place where you don't really know the guys as well? How was that in terms of dealing with, if it was hard?
Yeah, I think, like what I said a bit earlier, you know, it's always challenging, and going out on loan or doing anything really in football can always come with its own challenges. And I would say that sometimes a trip down there can be tough, because for me, I never really knew how long I'd be down there for. You know, it could be for a month, 2 months, or 6 months. Like, I would never know. So moving down there, and the staff and the players, you know, they always welcome me with open arms. Like, they knew I was young. They knew I had a lot to learn. So, and the people that know me, especially on the field, like, they know I don't have the mentality that I'm like, think I'm like big stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I would never go down there and just think that I'm like big headed, you know? So I was always down there to work and prove to myself that I could play in the league and push my way into the first team. So, you know, it was always business, but,
How is that? Yeah. How is that? Just to get a little insight, when you're not like having appearances for the Dynamo, when you get sent down on a short-term loan, like you said, you don't know how long you're going to be there. Is there like any hostility at all when you come down and, you know, you're starting right away? Like, is the other person that, I don't know, you're starting over, for example, that week, like, did you ever sense anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really understandable feeling, because anytime, the reason why I said what I said in terms of, like, always you have to be humble, is because football can change so fast. Like, in a year's time, like, I could have found myself in the exact same position in terms of being at a club in the USL where they're associated with the first team and they have to send out a young center back to get minutes, you know? So you can never, like, get too comfortable in any position you are. And that's why you have to just work so hard, because at any moment it can change and you can find yourself in the position of the guy next to you. So you can never really take anything for granted, and you can't really, like, ever, like, allow those kind of things to bother you, or, you know, to get personal, honestly, because at the end of the day, has nothing to do with you as a player, maybe nothing to do with them as a player. They might have had a fantastic week in training. You might have been horrible in training every day, but at the end of the day, it's not your decision. So it's one of those things you kind of have to brush to the side and you worry about another day.
Definitely a part of football that, like, we don't see every day. So it's kind of interesting to hear your take on it. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's like somebody's livelihood. Mm. And yours too, so it's like, that's where it gets real.
Exactly. Yeah,
and like, just experiencing, like what you just mentioned, like the vibes in the locker room, your expectations for, like, if you wanted to play or not, like, obviously those are like the pretty tough questions that at the end of the day, it comes down to like the head coach and
yeah.
Like you just have to do your best to prove yourself that you deserve a spot. And yeah. And well, another question that I also wanted to ask you, like, essentially, what will be like your personal goals for this season? Like it could be like either short term or long term goals. Like, what are you hoping to accomplish with obviously Charleston right now, but also like with the Dynamo later on?
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, like that's something that I think about quite often. You know, I always try to set goals for myself, even no matter how small they are, even every day in training. But my bigger term goals for the year are to become an established starter on the team. You know, sometimes when you're coming through a system as a center back, sometimes the coach obviously will go with their more experienced players in the harder games. And that's something that I'm fighting every day to prove to the coaching staff here as well as in Houston, the fact that, you know, I can play on this level consistently and be reliable. But yeah, I mean, I'm really, that's my number one goal, is to become an established starter on the team. And, you know, I have also like numbers in terms of, you know, I want to keep a certain amount of clean sheets. Obviously now I want to score a few more goals. but yeah, you know, you shoot for those little things. And then with Houston, obviously I want to come back whenever that may be and just really start to make things difficult for the coach in terms of, like, should Eric be starting? And, you know, I think I've developed a whole lot since I first came here, and especially since I first signed. And I think the coaching staff in Houston recognize that, and they know they want me to get experience here. So obviously those are my goals on the club level. And then I eventually, like I said before, really want to get into a national team camp, wherever country that might be.
Thailand, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good segue going into the questions from Twitter, because one of the first questions was from Ty, essentially asking if obviously you mentioned that you had contact with the Swedish Federation, but you had to like turn it down at the time. But if you had like also any contact from U.S. Soccer, and if you're still like considering being open to like making a national team appearance at some point eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think. Obviously, you know, the national team has been a dream for me since I've been young. And I sometimes get the question quite a lot, like, oh, Eric, what would you choose? You know, because there's so many players now with dual citizenships that have to, like, they face the same issue. And honestly, I've spent quite a lot of time thinking about it. And it always is a very difficult decision. But I think I will always have to come back to the country that I was born in. And it'll have to be Sweden, just because even though the U.S. has done so much for me, like helped me realize so many of my dreams, I feel like I couldn't turn my back on my country that I was like born in, had like so many like bloodlines linking back to Swedish relatives. And, you know, I think that's just what feels right. You know, so I think that's what I would choose in terms of if it was like a 50-50 like a decision and I was forced to make one, you know, to like make my senior debut. But I think it would be Sweden. Yeah.
So you hold Swedish citizenship, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hold both.
Is that ever something that's come through your head, maybe one day that could be easier an avenue to possibly get transferred to the Swedish league or dip your toes into Europe that way?
Yeah, it was funny because at the beginning of the season, you know, we were already discussing like loan opportunities for me and what exactly we want to do with it. And I actually told Matt during the negotiations that, you know, if I could spend a year in Sweden playing maybe in Allsvenskan or the second division, maybe that'd be really good for me just to, like, you know, live in my home country, just because I'd never actually lived and been established there.
Yeah, yeah.
I spent summers and winters and stuff. But yeah, you know, we had a few connections there and they didn't end up going through. But, you know, I think eventually, you know, who knows what the future may hold. But having the European citizenship has been very, very helpful in terms of travel. And I know, like being able to transfer to a team in Europe, it just helps so much more for them if I have an EU passport. So,
yeah,
obviously for the future, I think it would be very useful if it ends up going that route.
I mean, yeah, like you said, Aronson and Reynolds,
yeah,
these guys kind of went from 0 to 100 in the span of like 6 months, 8 months. Mm-hmm. So things can happen quickly. So that's definitely something super, super great to have.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely does happen quick in football. You have to always be ready for it.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just respectable. Like if I was in the same position, I would also just, like you said, not turn the back towards my country. And I would honestly do the same if I was on the same boat. If mm-hmm. If I ever had to like face a decision, which is, but like I said, pretty honorable. And
yeah, I feel like a lot of people nowadays, or a lot of people, you know, like you said, a lot of people have dual nationality. And then in football, a lot of people are like, oh, how can you turn your back on your birth country, especially with a national team?
Yeah.
People are freaking out about dual nationals all the time. But I mean, it's like, I feel like it's a modern problem now. I personally don't think it's too bad if you go with a team that's going to give you the playing time or the most chance to get in a World Cup or something. I think a lot of people are coming around to that too, because I think before it was very much like patriotism. How can you turn down the U.S.?
It's definitely a hard decision. Like, I think if I was ever in the situation where I had to choose one, like, it would be so tough, you know, just saying no to a national team that's interested. And, you know, I think obviously that's what I'm working towards, is to one day be able to make that decision. But, you know, we'll see what the future holds one day.
Yeah. And another question coming from a Ty on Twitter, essentially was that, has Tab Ramos ever gave you like a certain outline that he was looking for, like during your long time at Charleston, essentially things that he's looking forward to, like over the course of the mm-hmm. of the long stint? And if so, would that be, or essentially what he wants to see from you to give you like a shot in the first team?
Yeah, I think Tab, to be quite honest with you, he is a very like attacking oriented coach. Like, you know, I think a lot of the things he values very highly are like attacking players. I mean, he's told me like he just loves wingers. Like he loves I think obviously it goes back to
noticed.
Yeah, how he was, you know, when he was playing in his career, like scoring so many goals. But basically for me, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with him and the assistant coaches, as well as Matt Jordan, you know, before I left. And, you know, we've had a plan, kind of like what, I guess, final product they're looking for in regards to me. And, you know, they know that I have a lot of like the physical stuff down in terms of, you know, the physicality, like pace and everything like that. That's something that they never really had to worry about with me. But, you know, they've really just wanted to see me become a reliable defender and just being reliable in possession. You know, those two things have been their main focus for a center back, because, you know, when I first came in, I feel like I had a lot to prove. And that always happens with young players, especially when they don't have their like all their stuff sorted out, you know, at the beginning. And I kind of always wanted to do too much, you know, kind of like dribbling through too many players, trying to play that hard pass and almost putting myself in like worse situations just because I wanted to look better for myself and for the coaches and prove to them that I was as good as I thought I was. But now that I've matured a bit more, I kind of began to understand exactly what they're looking for. And even if they haven't said every single thing to me, like I kind of understand to who I want to become as a player, and our values are very much aligned, you know, because Tab really likes center backs that are comfortable driving forward the ball, splitting lines, and being able to be comfortable in possession. So I know those are all values that I can exhibit quite a lot, but you know, what I'm focusing on is just consistency now, just being able to be reliable all the time, be good on the ball, and be able to use all the tools I have to help the first team, you know, eventually, whenever that may be.
I know the communication probably, I mean, isn't always there because you're on loan and stuff, but I'm sure you're talking to Matt Jordan or some of the assistant coaches. But like, in all honesty, do you see a path going forward for yourself at the Dynamo breaking through?
Yeah, I think honestly that I have a lot to offer as a center back and as a player in general. Like, I think that's something I've never really wavered in throughout my career. And I know when I was at training or playing in training games, like, I know they saw stuff that they liked. So that's never really been an issue for me. But, you know, I think I have my sights set on next year really, really breaking through. You know, I have my own goals, like I've spoken to you guys about before. But, you know, there's you can obviously hope for a whole lot and want to make it happen, but at the end of the day, you have to prove it in training. You have to show the coaches, and you know, they're not gonna do you any favors. Like, you know, no one's gonna do you any favors in this world. So I think it's definitely I'm definitely focusing on being able to prove it to them and really make them feel that I've matured and grown a lot.
For sure, man. We don't want to keep you too much longer. I know we originally said it was gonna be last, but we'll just have like one or two more questions and let you go.
Yeah, it's no problem.
We appreciate this.
I was gonna segue to the last question from Twitter, which is essentially which we touched upon, going back to the short term and long term goals, and this one from Chipito back on Twitter, which is essentially, do you see yourself as a starter for Dynamo within the next 2 years?
Yeah, I think for sure. I think there aren't too many center backs in the league that are starting at a very young age, but you know, I want to be one of those that are rare. You know, I really want to show how much I've learned and how much I've grown, because, you know, like I said, I played against Atlanta in that preseason game. I've played against MLS opposition before, and obviously training every single day and with Houston, and it's something I'm not worried about. Like, I know as soon as I step on the field, you know, everyone's even. It's an even playing field. So
sure.
I know with some of the stuff I have, like, I would not be worried to step on the field. I'd be very, very excited to see how well I could do against some of the forwards in the league, you know. So I think one day for sure, when I'm able to get on the field, I'll be really, really excited to see how I do.
Yeah,
and we hope so too, honestly.
Thank you guys.
We're calling out for, I feel like so many of the fans just want like a homegrown to break through, and I mean, we have Memo right now, you know, but
mm-hmm.
Memo kind of was like a little bit pre academy days as well. I feel like everybody's calling out for somebody to break through and become a fan favorite. But before we let you go, we just kind of wanted to know also a little bit about you off the pitch. You got signed at a young age. You didn't end up going to Wake Forest, but are you currently studying to get a degree? Or are you just focusing on football and pretty much outside of the field? What are you interested in career-wise or just hobby-wise?
Yeah, right now I'm doing the online classes for Southern New Hampshire University. I know a lot of the homegrown players throughout the league recently have been doing that. I've been doing that since I've been signed. Not since I've been signed. I was in high school for the last bit of my first year. But since then, I've been doing online classes for business administration. And really, I kind of selected a degree that's like, you know, what is like the widest reaching degree that could be applied to after football. And I mean, honestly, the more and more I've been playing, I've been feeling like there's almost no way I could step away from football, like, in my life later on. And, you know, a business administration degree will maybe help me in terms of, you know, managing or maybe inside the club, or, you know, being maybe a GM or something like that much, much later on. And, you know, those are things that, you know, you can almost get dizzy thinking about just because it's so far in the future. But I mean, off the field, like, I have a lot of little hobbies that I like to do quite a bit. Sometimes they just like surprise people, but I love playing games. Like, that's a really good way for me to disconnect from football. Sometimes, you know, you have to take a step back. I played quite a bit of piano. I took lessons when I was younger and, you know, picked it back up again. And, you know, it's kind of like a little bit of a therapy for me. And I draw and obviously, you know, hanging out with friends and everything like that, just staying in contact with family. Those are most of the stuff I do off the fields, and, you know, obviously watch some shows too. So
stream some Warzone with Zlatan.
Honestly.
Yeah, Chicharito's streaming a Warzone too, so check that out.
I don't know how good he is, but I've never checked it out.
It's good to see that off the field. It's always good to disconnect sometimes from what happens on the field to essentially have an understanding of what's around you, of course, family and friends, and essentially you also take a break. But yeah. Like, it's been a great interview. Thank you so much for spending the time with us. It's been great to get to know you a little bit better. And Tony and I are just like hoping hoping the best for you, like whatever happens this year and forward, and we just hope for the very best.
All right, thank you guys. No, it was really good on to get on the call, and you know, if you want to message any of my teammates, you know, I'll definitely make sure to give a good referral for you guys, and you know, it was a really good time.
Yeah, we would definitely appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course, man.
So yeah, that was our first interview, player interview with Eric McHugh. He, even though it was a pretty long one, like we said, it was a pretty thoughtful one from his part, like giving us time to go through his personal story, how he got to Houston, and his road to where he is right now in Charleston, and what's to come. Obviously, like, it was a pretty good interview in the sense that we got to learn a lot about him and just like everything he has to go through and his development over the course of time, and him being like one of the few homegrowns we have right now, it was pretty thoughtful. I don't know what Tony would like to say. Like, he has some personal questions to ask to Eric McHugh there, but like he felt it too. He felt the vibes.
It was a deep conversation. We're all Dynamo brothers now or something. But no, if you listen to the end right now, you're for sure a real one. And we will send you 100K of GAM and TAM to your bank accounts accordingly.
And so in NFTs.
Please send us your credit card information, front and back.
Also the NFTs, yes.
Yes, and we'll send money. But no, definitely, without, like, I know it's something cliche people always say, but Eric definitely, you can tell he's got a great head on his shoulders, super humble, and you know he's just ready to put his head down and do the work. So I mean, I know a lot of Dynamo fans are super anxious to see more homegrown succeed, and I think it's just a question of time for Eric to get more playing time, and once he's back in Houston, I think it's going to be the real deal. So I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast, and we'll see you all next time.
Yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and stay noodle.
Stay noodle.